Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. As is consistent with the teaching of Scripture, where Jesus taught on the four types of soil, heart soil, that the Word of God falls on, many have fallen away. Jesus is the one who invented the term fall away. And so on that fact alone, Luke 8:13, we know that anybody that teaches, such as the Calvinist and eternal securist, that you cannot fall away, are blatantly bearing false witness against the Lord. This is irrefutable. Quote unquote, fall away. Jesus taught that there would be those who believed and therefore were saved. Oh, but it wasn't real faith. I'm sorry. Excuse me? Jesus Christ said they believed. And in John 6:47, Jesus said, he that believeth has everlasting life. But you can lose everlasting life. But wait, it's everlasting. The possession of it biblically is not permanent necessarily, unless that person, John 15, abides, remains in Christ. And no one has to or is forced to stay in fellowship with Jesus after being saved. His free will after he gets saved, God told his own people to choose you this day. Uh-oh, wait a minute. They must have had choice because he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15. It's a shame that this has to be even said. It's so obvious, the truth of it, but our direction here at the moment is the importance, saints, of staying in the Word of God. I've had, back in the beginning when the Lord saved me over four decades ago, there are many people thereafter who were very instrumental in leading me to Jesus. And I'm going to use that little testimony here just because it probably relates to all of us. I don't know your story necessarily, but it's probably consistent with other saints in Christ. And so other people, the lady who was very instrumental in telling me that it's about relationship, not religion, and giving me scripture and inviting me to a gospel meeting where I got saved soon after, and she was absolutely saved and walking in the Spirit. But because apparently and obviously, this is the only reason why people fall away, that she didn't remain in Christ. She made a decision. And let me just say this. That decision starts with just one morning, refusing to and putting off fellowship with the Lord. We all know, and most of us have tried it, I'm sure, that, oh, I'll get around to read my Bible later today or tonight. That never, and I mean never, works. God is either first in our lives or he's not in our lives at all. He's a second-class citizen. He's not the first love of our lives, Revelation 2:4-5. And therefore, as Jesus told the Ephesians, we have to repent, return, turn again to him, get stirred up, read some scripture, feed your spirit or famish and fall away. Feed your spirit and you will flourish and there will be a foundation built in your life. You have to have the nutrients of God's word. Nothing else can replace it. Nothing else can replace the word. Nothing else replaces Bible reading. Nothing. Well, brother, I don't know where to start. I tell you what, open the Bible and begin. Read. Read some scripture. Read a portion of scripture. Mark it today that you'll never, ever, again, not put God first. In the morning, right when you wake up. That's what we have all over the Bible. In fact, it's said, now I haven't counted, but I know there are so many places that speak about early morning prayer. David says, early, early, early will I seek thee, right? Early will I. This is Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Are you hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God? Jesus says, who is blessed? He said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be filled. And what we hunger and thirst after is something that's a personal choice. It's a decision you make. How do we know that? Well, we know that because David, for example, in this text where he says, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. I thirst, I hunger for you. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Also, we know by 1 Peter 2:2, what does it say? It says, desire. God tells you what to desire. Desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. Anybody that's not ingesting the word daily does not have Jesus as their first love. He's a hobby. He's a mere second-class citizen. He's not the first love of their life. They're not delighting in the Lord. And when you delight in the Lord, he's going to give you the desire of your heart. Psalm 37:4-5. Then he says, commit your way unto the Lord. Commit. I'm getting up every day and I'm studying the Word of God and spending quality moments in prayer. Boom. Incredible. Your life's going to be changed forever. Don't ever look back. Don't ever look left or right. I'm just personally amazed that we all know people who lose a lot of weight and then all of a sudden they just start gaining it all back. Wait, what? I mean, you lost the weight, you looked better, you felt better, and now you're stopping. Somebody please make that make sense. I don't understand that. I don't want to understand that. Anyway, I don't know what else I could say nicely on that matter. It's just so ridiculous. Oh, and here's another one. You go to the gym, you get sore, you overcome that after you keep working out, you're feeling better, you're looking better, and then you quit. Wow. Again, make that make sense, please. Now, I'm sure some of us are more inclined to discipline and consistency. Big word, consistency. Due to the way we were brought up. And so if you didn't have the benefit of having a drill instructor type father, or you didn't go into the military and learn real quick that you're going to do what's right or you're going to reap some horrible consequences, then you still have some learning to do. And it's not your fault that you didn't get that start, but you've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You've got to repent, deny yourself, and take up your cross daily, Jesus said, and follow Jesus, or you're not following him. Who comes first in your life? Who? You or him? That tells you exactly what you need to know and where you're headed right there. If he's not the first priority love of your life, you are in need of repentance. Revelation 2:4-5. You are lukewarm at best and getting ready to be spewed out of his mouth. You cannot sustain a life with Christ without feeding on his word and spending quality moments in prayer with him. Now, somebody says, what do I pray? Well, Jesus gave us a model prayer, right? Luke 11, Matthew 6, etc. And also, there are so many members of the body of Christ. Pray for them. What do I pray? The word. Pray the word. The word of God is the will of God. Just pray the word of God over them. Pray that they would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I love that prayer. And we have the promise of God. It's right there in the word. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, he prayed that the body of Christ would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And many of you listening, you're on my list. You get called out in prayer before the holy throne of God the Father where Jesus is seated at the right hand every single morning by name. Amen. And you, my friend, should have at least 2 to 5, at least just to begin with, 2 to 5 people that God will show you that are around you that are born again saints and need you to pray for them every morning. There you go. There's your time in the Word. That's the mind of Christ. You're preferring others above yourself. Also, I like to pray for the believers I pray for that God would increase their faith as the apostles asked the Lord in Luke 17:5, and also that he would multiply his grace, his wisdom, and his love in each of their abiding in Christ crucified, raised up, fruitful daily lives. Prayer is communication and communion with God, listening to him. That's what you do when you read the Bible. You're hearing from God. People looking for a word. Yeah, just open His word and start reading. That's His word. And there's no doubt that that is His word, not somebody who supposedly had a dream or, you know, the wind blew from the left and hit them on the right side of their head. And all of a sudden, you know, they got a word from God. Or, oh, I was awakened at 3 a.m. So what I heard at 3 a.m. in the morning must be of God, right? Because after all, I was woke up. I was awakened at 3 a.m., right? Ah, yeah. You know, when you see these kind of sensationalized headlines on social media, and then you look at the number of gullible dupes that are ungrounded, if even saved at all, they get thousands of views. Why? Because somebody said they heard from the Lord. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. But yet these same people that are flakes, that are running out there doing stuff like that and jumping at anybody who says they had a dream, the Lord showed them, blah, blah, blah. They're watching all that. And yet these same people won't even open God's word. Wow. One thing you can be assured of from Genesis to Revelation in the King James Bible, you are reading the inspired word of God, which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You are hearing from God every time you read a Bible verse, a Bible passage, a Bible chapter or chapters, a Bible book. Every time you open the Word of God, which the true disciple does every single day, first thing. And you are hearing from God. There's no question about that. But all of these people and their dogs, cats, and uncles and aunts who died and went to heaven or hell, are they? Do you know that what they're saying is true? No, you don't even have to worry about it. You don't even have to deliberate over it. Just open the Word of God and read it. And if this ministry does nothing else in this life, this short, brief, temporal life we have, I pray that it would stir people up, even though they might get mad. Stir them up with conviction. I pray that for you right now, that you will not be able to sleep until you truly repent and put Jesus Christ first in your life. And what does that look like? It looks really practical and literal. You get up every morning, you read His word. That's your marching orders. That's your fuel, your nourishment. 1 Timothy 4:6, we're to nourish one another. We're to be nourished up in the Word of God and nourish up other members of the body of Christ. I pray that you would be convicted of your sin of idolatry, self-idolatry. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. You are dead, and if you don't realize that, this is what the Bible says about you. You're dead and buried and raised up with Christ. Your life is over. You are no longer your own now that you called on Jesus in repentance and received Him by faith, no matter how long ago that was, a week, a day, or 20 years. It doesn't matter. You're no longer your own. You are His. You're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And you don't serve yourself or the dictates of your flesh. You now serve Him. Romans 6. I want you to read Romans 6 every single morning this week, along with the other chapters that you're going to feed on and feed your spirit on in the Word of God. Each and every morning as you arise to seek the Lord your God. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust Him also, and He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring the blessings to pass, the blessing of you successfully walking with Him. Amen. Psalm 37:4-5. Also, a brother and I were discussing Joshua 1:8 this week. This book of the law, the Word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, out of your mouth. We're to speak the word, right? Yeah. Not for the intention of getting your, you know, dumb little trinkets in this life. No, how about desiring to make more money so you can fund the work of God? But until then, you be faithful with what you're already making. How much does God get? It's amazing how much waste there is among those who are professing members of the body of Christ. They spend more money on Mountain Dew. You ever know people that are hooked on Mountain Dew? I guess that's just one of many examples. How much does that cost when you're running around and you're buying stuff out of a 7-Eleven and paying three times as much, probably, right? Okay, you know, that's about $3 in the United States these days, right? Am I guessing right? Mountain Dew? Okay, so let's say it's just $2.50. And you're buying how many of them a day times 30 days in a month, and you can't even give $50 to the work of Christ? Wow. That's a picture of who you are, because where and how we spend our money is a direct reflection of the priorities of our hearts. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And also to lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Not waste your money on the earth, but lay it up. Send it before you into eternal habitations, Luke 16. Into the New Jerusalem in heaven, where you're going to be forever, if you endure to the end. And you're not going to endure to the end if you don't feed your spirit with the Word of God every day. And you live a ready to meet Jesus life, which the Bible teaches. We got a book called Ready. Are you ready for the return of the Lord? Ready for the return of Christ? You can check that out on Amazon, or you can check that out on safeguardyoursoul.com. Ready for the return of Christ. What a biblically rich book. All the books are biblically rich, full of scripture, helping you learn the word and to be stirred up in Christ, as we hope this message, which may seem a little harsh to some of you, is doing as you listen. Again, Joshua 1:8, this book of the Word of God, of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Speak the word. Again, it's not for your glory or self-aggrandizement or selfish pleasure and all your things that you desire in this fleeting world, because your heart's not circumcised by being in the word every day and living a life of repentance, Psalm 51, etc. Okay, it's the will of God is the Great Commission, edifying the body of Christ, teaching them as you learn the word, learning together, and reaching the lost. If you're not executing personally the Great Commission and of each of the four Gospels in your own life, and that ought to be a lifestyle every day, you're not following Christ. You can't say you're following Christ if you're not doing what he said. You are responsible to edify the body of Christ, to teach as you learn the Word of God, and also evangelize. Go ye into all the world, that's your world, and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't reach the people that are around you every day. You can't reach the people that I come into contact every day, but I can reach the ones that are in my circle of influence, and you can reach those that you are put in the presence of every day. And God's watching. I mean, some people who claim to be a Christian can't even hand out a gospel tract. Are you kidding me? Wow. You don't even have to say anything. Smile. What passes as a disciple of Jesus these days is befuddling to any Bible student. Okay, so in the Word, we are instructed to, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. So we're to speak the word, it's to be in our mouth, and we are to meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You got to be a doer of the word. We learn it, we walk it out. For then after you've spoken, meditated upon, and obeyed, observed and did the word, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So the prosperity of God, the success of God, and having an abiding relationship with Christ after he saves us consists of speaking his word, of meditating on it day and night, and observing to do it, according to Joshua 1:8. Now, Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the psychobabble that's full-blown in the seminaries, Bible colleges, so-called, and churches. Okay, he doesn't walk according to this world. Blessed, who's going to be blessed, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's in the counsel of God, the Word, every day. He's filling up on the Word every day and walking it out. He's not walking according to the counsel of the ungodly. nor standeth in the way of sinners. So blessed is the man that does not walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He opens the floodgate and invites them to repent and be saved. He preaches the gospel to them. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't have time to sit around just judging everybody else. He knows that it's a full-time job to keep his own self judged. Does the Bible say that? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, if we would judge not others but ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, you got to judge yourself against the Word of God, and you cannot do that if you're not in the Word of God every day, studying it each and every morning. First thing, everything else that comes in the way of that is an excuse that needs to be crucified. Lay the axe to the root. Stop the madness. Quite frankly, the Lord is calling you, my friend, to solidify yourself in Christ, to solidify that He, not you, He is your first love. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. And you are going to solidify your relationship with Jesus Christ by deciding that He, not you, He is first in your day. Your first waking moment and thereon is going to be filled with praise, love, worship, and obedience to Jesus Christ. And that comes in the form of prayer. Holy moments of prayer, quality moments in the Word of God. Every morning, first thing. When God's first, He comes first. If He doesn't come first, He's not first. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first, not second, but first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. I'm trying to help you, because if you're not in the Word every day and you've been saved, you are a miserable person, full of confliction, if you will, affliction of heart, a conviction of sin, misery, darkness, and shame, because you're living in sin. God isn't first. You are. And that you need to change seats, if you will. Repent, dethrone yourself, and ask Jesus to reign on the throne of your heart. Verse 32, 1 Corinthians 11, but when we are judged, that is, when we judge ourselves honestly against the Word of God, many who are caught up in this world and not being honest before God, in this prophesied hour of darkness preceding the soon return of Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Matthew 24, and Luke 21. May each of us right now be reminded that we're all going to stand before God. Is that me? Is that you? We better repent, because we're all going to stand before God to give absolute accountability and account for every thought, word, and deed and motive in our hearts and lives on this earth. That ought to frighten us to no end. In the fear of God, we pray for the fear of the Lord to multiply upon each of us. According to David's prayer in Psalm 86:11, he said, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Amen. Bring that fear into our innermost being, God, in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 11:32. And when we are judged, that is, we judge ourselves against the standard of God's Word and nothing else. That's why you should come out of your fake local church, because you're not hearing anything but a bunch of excuses in most cases. The Scripture says if we would judge ourselves, right here, 1 Corinthians 11:31-32, we should not be judged. We'll prevent being judged by God in the end, and that would mean, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25. Then he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. How many people know that if you walk with God and you continue in Christ, abiding with Him, you're going to be purged? John 15, the purge, or the abiding chapter. You're going to be purged so that you bring forth more fruit. So that ought to make us go, wait a minute. If He's chastening me, if He's purging me, that confirms that I'm His. Isn't that a different perspective? That's a kingdom. That's a Bible perspective. Get happy. Thank you, Lord, I'm yours. Have your way in me. Amen. You must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Ultimately, those who do not judge themselves against the holy standard of the Word of God, which is most people that call themselves Christians, they don't care what the Word of God says. They're little pastor and the little pansy in the pulpit is telling them all kinds of stuff that are half-truths and staying away from the cross, the crucified life, the holiness of God, and how he commanded us to be holy as he is holy, and to maintain a crucified walk raised up by the Holy Spirit so there is no blemish of sin on our garments as we look for the soon return of Jesus. That message is nowhere to be found, which immediately and automatically, and that's all it takes, tells you that's a fake church with a fake pastor, a fake Jesus, and a fake Bible. Ephesians 5:25-27. So you got to judge yourself against the Word of God, or you're going to be judged in the end and sent to hell irrevocably. Okay, as we finish, and the whole intent here today is to talk straight to you. If I was sitting in front of you, I'd look you straight in the eyes in the love of Jesus and tell you to get in the Word, lay down your life, and follow him. And that begins with getting up every morning. It's real practical, real practical. Getting up in the morning and studying and reading his Word. It doesn't matter if it starts with 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Just do it. The more you read the Bible, the more you're going to want to read the Bible. And again, King James Bible, not some fake Bible. So notice verse 2, Psalm 1 as we close. But his, whose? The blessed man. The blessed man. That's who he's talking about. The first verse says Psalm 1:1. The first verse in the longest book in the Bible. Blessed is who? I want to find out. Do you want to be a blessed man, sir? Blessed is the man that what? Goes to church. Whoa. Is that what it says? You better read the Bible yourself, because anybody can just insert something and tell you it says that when it doesn't. Let me read it correctly this time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't live by, well, people say this and this saying or that saying on the philosophies of, you know, psychobabble, satanic psychobabble, the five love languages and all this other foolishness, self-esteem, 100% satanic. He doesn't live after those things. He lives by the Word of God. He doesn't do anything without sizing it up and deriving it from the Word. Because he's in the Word every day. He's full of the Word. And the Word is circumcising his heart and establishing the kingdom of Christ in his heart and life as he walks it out. Blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? Do what this man does. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the Word of the Lord. Are you delighting in the Word of God? You know, Jeremiah 15:16, the prophet said, thy words, he said to the Lord, were found. You got to find them. You got to get up every morning and open the treasure chest of God's Word. That's how you find his Word. Jeremiah said, thy words were found. You got to look to find. You got to do something. You got to open the Bible, right? Thy words were found, and I did what? Eat them. I devoured them. And thy word was what? What happened when he found, opened the Bible, and read it? Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Be sure of this. From Genesis to Revelation, you will find that there's no such thing as a man of God who is not a man of the Word of God. The Word of God and the Lord are not a hobby to him. They are his life. The true disciple lives in a place of consistency. There is no excuse given or made. They are in the Word. It doesn't matter how sick they are or whatever else is coming against them. They are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. If they aren't, that person is still a tear, a counterfeit. They have decided that God is a second-class citizen and not their first love. Think about this, my friend, in light of the fact that Jesus said that if we continue in his Word after being saved, then as we continue in his Word, are we his disciples indeed? And we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. That is presently and ongoing. Notice that it's only those who continue in his Word after being saved, this is John 8:30-32, they are indeed absolutely certified and factually sanctioned as the disciples of Christ, and he is making them more and more free from sin and everything that would otherwise bind them. John 8:30-32, check it out, beloved. I want you, my friend, to read Psalm chapter 1 and see if you can disprove what I just stated. By the word of God, we should recognize that you are not going to have, and neither am I, a heart full of the love, joy, and peace of Jesus if you're not in the word every day. But his delight, are you delighting in the word of God? Is in the man of God's delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and in his law, in his word, doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. His life is going to be like a tree. This is an illustration of a healthy life that is flourishing in Christ because he's devouring the word of God. He's meditating on it. He's walking in it every day. And he shall be like a tree. Picture that. Planted by the rivers of water. You ever look out across a meadow and see a bunch of trees and then you see a line of trees that is, wow, why are those trees higher and greener and more healthy than all the others? Because all you got to do is look a little lower and in the ground is going to be a stream, a creek, a river. You see, so the roots of those trees that are by the creek, that are by the river, are fed nutrients, minerals, etc., into their roots by the flow of water that they're getting all the time, continually, perpetually. And that's a picture of you and I having a perpetual flow of the Word of God into our hearts. And that's what the picture is here. Verse 3, as we close, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And that would be caused by his roots being constantly fed by the flow of the Word of God into his life. And not only that, but according to Ephesians 5:26, he's being washed by the Word, with the washing of water by the Word. Ephesians 5:26. Heavenly Father, let every single step, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and you delight in his way. Let it be in our lives, O God. We cry with John the Baptist, Lord, that you would increase and that we would be blessed to be decreased, and that you would forgive our sins of spiritual adultery and self-idolatry. These are sins that defile us in your holy eyes, and we ask you as we turn to you now afresh, to forgive our sins and to wash us clean and give us refreshing in your presence. Fill us afresh, O God. Convict us. Do a work all the way down into the depth of our being. Remove the stony places that were caused by our sin and replace those stony places in our hearts with a heart of flesh, Heavenly Father. Let us be established, our hearts, in your grace, according to Hebrews 13:9. In the name of Jesus, we look for your soon return, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to bring an extreme sensitivity
and conviction
to our consciences, to our hearts, our spirits, concerning anything that would defile us in your holy eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.